older, and so is my mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. We're thrilled that you're with us. If you're listening on 95.9 and you're in the Palm Beaches and you're on 95 or the Turnpike, please be careful. And of course, if you're the same, holds true for you. If you're up in Martin County at 106.9, we're thrilled that you're with us. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, we're glad that you found us. We have a great show tonight, and I know I say that regularly, but we really have a great show tonight. We have two incredibly important and wonderful gentlemen from the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs, and they're going to talk about all the things that the Department of Consumer Affairs does to protect us, you, and so many other people. It's a really interesting, and I promise you, the more I did prep for this show, the more I understood that I didn't know anything at all that the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs does, and what they do is really, really important. So more about my guests and what the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs does in just a minute. But first, another thing people are often confused about is the difference between Medicare and managed care. And it's a big issue, and a lot of people are embarrassed to admit that they don't really understand the difference. And since open enrollment is coming in just a few months, I'm going to be giving a presentation on this subject this Thursday at 2 o'clock at Abbey Del Rey on Lawson Street in Delray Beach. If you are interested in that subject and would like to come, there is room. Just give the folks at Abbey Del Rey a call and come on in. The other thing is, there are two support groups I want to tell everybody about this week. For those who have a family member struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia, we run a support group at Pacifica Senior Living. That Tino will be doing that, and that is at Pacifica Senior Living in, I guess it's technically Green Acres, Lake Worth Green Acres. That's at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and everybody is welcome. And then there'll be a workshop for Parkinson's, both people with the disease and those family members working and helping them, from 12:30 to 2 at Physical. Physical is FYZICAL on Lake Worth Road in Lake Worth. That's Friday from 12:30 to 2, Parkinson's Support Group. And I encourage you, if you need people to talk to about that, if you're living through that, please attend one of those support groups. But now to my guests, which is why you're here. Two gentlemen. Rob Schelt is here. He is the director of the Palm Beach County Division of Consumer Affairs. He joined Palm Beach County in 2012. He's responsible for leading a team of investigators and licensing specialists who administer several consumer protection ordinances, including towing, moving, vehicle for hire, water taxis, adult entertainers, home caregivers, which of course is the real reason they're here tonight, and unfair deceptive business practices. During his tenure, Rob served in several different positions within the county's public safety department, including assistant operations manager and senior planner for the Division of Emergency Management and senior program manager for the Division of Victim Services. Rob has a master's degree in public administration from FAU and a bachelor's degree in political science from the University of Florida. And he is the proud father of two young boys and a lovely wife. Jeff Eidelberg is here, and I have met Jeff before. Jeff is an investigator at the Palm Beach County Division of Consumer Affairs, and he joined the Palm Beach County Department in 2014. He has spearheaded the implementation and the enforcement of the Palm Beach County Caregiver Ordinance since its adoption in 2015. He, along with a team of investigators, are responsible for reviewing the caregiver Federal Department, Florida Department of Law Enforcement background checks, processing ID badges to caregivers, enforcement of the ordinance, conducting on-site inspections at assisted living facilities. Investigator Eidelberg also handles community outreach for the Caregiver ID program. He also helps to regulate and enforce other consumer protection ordinances. Prior to Jeff's service to the county, he was director for 7 years at Broward Outreach Center, a 185-bed homeless shelter for men, women, and families. Local high school baseball coach. He's been in the South Florida community for over 20 years, and he is married and resides here in Palm Beach. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we're happy to have you. So, you know, I think just because I've been saying this since you got on the show here tonight, I don't think a lot of people really understand what the Department of Consumer Affairs does and who you regulate and how important it is. So at the 30,000-foot level, can we just explain what you do? What does the organization do? What does the association do?
Sure. The Division of Consumer Affairs is housed within the county's Public Safety Department. We are a division that it consists of licensing and investigative staff. We were charged with extending consumer protections through the administration of several county ordinances to include the water taxi, moving, towing, home caregiver, adult entertainer. In addition, we handled disputes that consumers may have with local businesses, and we try to resolve those disputes before they escalate and need to go to court.
And, Jeff, your particular focus is on the caregiver ordinance, which I'm proud to say I was instrumental in helping write back in 2015. I was just telling you before the show that I met back then with Shelley Vanna, who was one of, I guess now we call them mayors, but county officials, and... But you have really taken it to a new level. So can we talk about the caregiver ordinance? Because I don't think people fully, one, they don't know it exists, and two, they don't understand what it's designed to do.
Well, the caregiver ordinance was adopted in 2015. And it all started with, there was a lot of calls coming into the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office as well as our Division of Consumer Affairs from seniors. And the population of Palm Beach County over the age of 62 is about 23% of the population. By the year 2030, that population is going to be about 30%. They did a study, and 14% of all reported senior crimes are done by home health workers. So they want to know from a public safety standpoint, who's coming into the homes? So people like you and the Board of County Commissioners, as well as the Sheriff's Department, said, well, let's get some type of an ordinance going that we can manage who's coming into the homes. So they get an ID program to where home health aides would be ID'd with a badge where we do a level 2 background check. And they started that program in 2015. We started IDing the home health aides in 2016 of April.
Yeah, I think just... For clarity, most people think that certification and licensure are the same, and they're not. And so certain degrees of home health care workers are, in fact, licensed, and then they go through the required background checks and have licenses. But home health aides, and particularly the private caregivers, often avoided getting required background checks and other certifications, perhaps. Am I saying that correct?
Yeah, and that was one of the county's largest concerns, is that there's individuals operating, let's say, under the radar that hadn't gone through any level of background screening, yet they're providing intimate levels of care to people in their homes where they're earning trust over time. Could have been they started out just as, you know, cleaning or running errands, but over time, maybe that person's health has deteriorates over time, and all of a sudden they've been granted access to write checks, and then we see financial abuses and exploitation start to occur after that trust factor is built. So with the ordinance in place, it provides consumers with information to know that before they hire someone, they can consult a public web lookup tool, putting in the caregiver's last name or ID badge number, to see that they've at least cleared a level 2 criminal history check.
And that's really important. And Jeff, if this really began initially, I believe, from a lot of influence and impetus by the Broward County Sheriff's Department, their elder affairs police officers were encountering a tremendous number of crimes committed against seniors by people who were not connected to any firms in particular, or or to different kinds of firms.
Right. It was the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, and there was a senior crimes division within the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, and there is a task force that we are involved with that we meet every month, and we do spot checks on assisted living facilities. And there was an overwhelming impetus as far as who's coming into the homes. So they decided to really crack down as far as, because there is no licensing for home health aides.
Right.
They don't have to have any kind of licensure. CNAs, RNs, physical therapists, they do a different type of licensing, but the home health aide, they don't have to have any kind of a licensing within the state of Florida.
And guys, is this just for people providing home health aid services, or is it for anybody that's providing similar services or other services to vulnerable adults? I know at one time there was the desire to have this extend beyond just home health aides.
Right. So in Palm Beach County, we really look at not necessarily what their title is, but what are the tasks that they're performing.
Right.
So if they're performing instrumental activities or activities of daily living support, such as helping someone bathe or toileting or even running errands, haircut or cutting hair, things of that sort within the home, grooming, they would be required to come get the ID badge if they're getting compensated for that work. So the county didn't really realize the scope of the amount of caregivers that existed in the county. And as of today, we have processed over 13,000 individuals in this five-year period.
Wow.
Not even a five-year period, close to a five-year period.
Wow.
But it's important that people realize that the county did build in exemptions for people who did not have to come get a badge. So those would be like family members. Right. They would be individuals that already were cleared by the Department of Health, like a registered nurse or certified nursing assistant, a CNA, that type of thing. So the county has really taken a really strong, aggressive approach to this with the encouragement of advocates and law enforcement.
Right. And there are penalties for failure to comply, right? I mean, it's important to understand that you guys are serious about this. And Jeff, that's kind of where you're at, right?
Yeah, if we catch somebody that's working without a badge, it's you could be fined $250 for a civil infraction. If we find somebody that's advertising, whether it be online or business cards, that's $150 fine. What we try to do, though, is to educate. I mean, the last thing that we really want to do is somebody that's making $10, $12 an hour to write them a civil infraction for $250. So we would write them a notice of violation, and we would give them a week to come into compliance, where we would disregard the citation to get them into compliance, because that's what it's all about. It's about getting them into compliance so that from a public safety issue, safety, so that the...
And that's really the key, right? Safety is the goal here, right? It's ensuring that the person who's in the house taking care of a senior citizen is a person that should be in your
house. And not only that, there's a lot of seniors that have family members that are out of state.
Right.
So that if I have a loved one that's in Florida, and who's looking after mom and dad? So that they have a tool to go to our website to look up to see if that caregiver has a level 2 background, has the ID badge. So there's a little bit of peace of mind that mom and dad is being looked after, somebody that at least is in compliance with the county ordinance.
Are you finding a lot of violations these days?
There's really two aspects to the type of caregiver. One is the agency. The agencies make up most of our caregivers. We have about 11,000 out of the 13,700 are agency caregivers. In order to work for an agency, they have to come in. The agency is going to send them to get their fingerprints through ACA, which is the Agency of Healthcare Administration. Those fingerprints go into a database, and to be eligible or ineligible or be hired. The agency is going to send them to our office to get their ID badge. It's $30 for 5 years. It's the independent that's not affiliated with an agency that where we not find the biggest, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, we have the most concern.
Most concern, because the agency is the low-hanging fruit.
Right.
It's the free agent that's putting the business card in the bulletin board at some of your senior communities that'll work for $10, that there's no restrictions, there's no background. So finding them is through the websites, through the different advertising, through the word of mouth is our biggest issue.
So I guess we didn't talk about this, and so if you don't know the answer, that's okay. Where do places like care.com fall into this? Because that's really a message board for independent caregivers, and not all of them, I would think, would have gone through the process of being fingerprinted and getting a badge.
If an agency is placing an individual to provide care services and performing one of those functions of daily living, then they would be subject to the ordinance.
Right.
So as Jeff indicated, the county's not in a position of wanting to go issue fines and collect money. We're trying to get compliance and adhere to a public safety goal, which is allowing consumers to know who they're putting into these to the homes. As Jeff mentioned, the majority of these individuals are affiliated with an agency. However, it's what we found is the market to be extremely transient. What I mean by that is one day they're working for an agency, and then the next day they pick up a private care, they drop the agency that they were affiliated with, and now nobody's monitoring them, which is the reason why the county having a central database where we can track these individuals on a five-year basis of where they are and are they eligible to work is so important. So that individual that, you know, once worked for a major agency that's now doing private, we know about it because we get notified when they're no longer working for that agency through the ACA clearinghouse.
Yeah, I know we have to let you know when somebody's not working for us.
Exactly. And so that we'll follow up with that individual to see what they're doing, and if they haven't reaffiliated with another agency that's monitoring their fingerprints and perhaps any type of criminal mischief that they may have stirred up in the meantime, we'll issue them a notice of violation, and if we need to, proceed with a citation to get them to come in and submit the fingerprints to our office, where we will monitor those fingerprints through the duration of their badge. We have the equipment already in our office, so it's very convenient for the private caregiver to come in, submit to the fingerprints. They're building credibility out in the community to say, I have an ID badge. Here's my ID badge, which they'll have a hard copy of. And then they'll have a website to send the consumers to validate that badge. Because since we've been doing this program, we've suspended over 1,200 caregiver badges. So of the 13,000, 1,200 of them today are in a suspended state, either because they have a disqualifying offense since the date of application, or because they haven't, they're not affiliated with an agency and they haven't come in for fingerprints. So we remove them from our website.
You know, it's so important, and I know you both, because I know you both understand this, but the audience may not. When somebody works for an agency, as a caregiver, and they are suspended for some reason by ACA, they've been arrested for something. Those are the people, honestly, and I'm not making a broad judgment of everybody who works privately, but when you can no longer work for an agency with ACA, where do you go if this is all you know what to do? You go into the private homes and you work privately, and what you're doing really prevents that. It serves an unbelievable purpose, and you guys should be congratulated for working so hard at trying to ensure. The fact that 1,200 badges have been suspended astounds me. It warms my heart in one way, but it astounds me in another. And it should be a caution sign or a caution light to people who do hire privately.
Well, we've had a tremendous amount of support from the Board of County Commissioners, our elected officials, as well as our county administration for this program. And it's kind of a two-part program. One, we have the tools because the commissioners and our county administration have been so supportive of it. But on the other side of that is we need to get the word out to the consumer to use this website as a lookup tool to validate credibility of individuals that they're considering putting into their homes.
So how are people finding out that this even exist, because there's a lot of, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I say to somebody, make sure that they have a badge, you know, and they, what are you talking about?
Well, I do a lot of outreach. I speak to a lot of the assisted living facilities. I do also go to a lot of the senior communities, a lot of the homeowners associations. I do a lot of the events that are for property management groups that I get to speak in front of their boards. It's just getting the word out.
It's a multi-pronged approach, too. Like Jeff talked about the in-person things we do, but we also produced a Channel 20, which we're fortunate in Palm Beach County to have our own TV channel. We produced a public service announcement that airs regularly. We posted that on our website. We got with Palm Tran Connection that moves around a lot of times individuals that rely on caregivers.
Right.
They included our brochure of caregivers needing an ID badge to all of their clients, which was a kind of a system coordination outreach effort. We work with the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office. I got to give a shout out to Detective Gennady. I don't know if she's listening, but
Erin is the best.
She's awesome. Yep. And so she's helping with that, and a variety of we've done presentations to groups like 911 centers and hospitals to make sure that those educators are aware of this and they can incorporate this messaging into their presentations, because it only takes a 20-second slide to say, check to make sure whoever you're hiring is has a caregiver ID badge. Similar to after a hurricane, you always hear, hire a licensed contractor. Well, we want in Palm Beach County it to be just as well known to hire a caregiver with an ID badge.
And also some of the senior communities, not only the Century Villages and such, but a lot of the 55 and over communities are now requiring, upon entrance to those facilities, there are signs posted that you must have your ID badge in order to enter our facility. So even if you get to the gate and you call ahead, you must have authorization to come in and show your ID badge. You're not being allowed in.
That's a game changer. No, it's a game changer. It's amazing. And yes, we glossed over Detective Gennady. She really was the lightning rod that got this started. She's so passionate. She does great work. And if you are listening, Detective, thank you. So we have a whole host of things to talk about. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I am here tonight with Rob Schelt and Jeff Eidelberg from the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs. We're talking about the caregiver ordinance. We're going to move on to other subjects. I think most people don't know that Palm Beach County has the distinction, and not a favorable distinction, of being the headquarters for sex traffickers. And we're going to talk about their efforts to correct that, as well as some of the other things that these fine gentlemen are working on. If you have any questions for my guests or for me about the caregiver ordinance or anything else the Department of Consumer Affairs does, call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact health care challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. I'm glad that you're with us tonight. If you're first-time listeners, I'm glad that you joined us. If you're regulars, welcome back. I'm here tonight with two wonderful guys who are from the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs. The director of that division, Rob Schelt, is here, and one of the chief investigators, Jeff Eidelberg, is here. And we started to talk initially about the caregiver ordinance, which is so important and dear to my heart. One, because I was one of those people that instrumental in starting it, and two, I really understand its value, even though most of my peers hated me for doing it. That is true, by the way. But another thing that's near and dear to my heart, because I once had somebody who worked for me who was a victim of this, is sex trafficking. And one of the ways that the Department of Consumer Affairs is attempting to impact the sex trafficking trade is through the licensure of adult entertainers. And it's really interesting, and it's a connection, a bridge, that I think most people would not appreciate. So, guys, give us the 411 on that.
Originally, the county looked at requiring adult entertainers to obtain a work ID because in the late 90s, the sheriff's office identified to the county that they found underage girls performing on stage, girls under the age of 18 in adult entertainment establishments. So at that point, the county created an ordinance requiring that performers come into the county to get an adult entertainer ID badge. And at that time, it was strictly an age verification process. Since then, and with the help of, at the time, Mayor McKinley, we looked at how we can enhance that program because there was a problem across the nation occurring. That problem is human trafficking. Calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline were very, very large across the nation. In fact, Florida ranked 3 for the volume of calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline, and within the state of Florida, Palm Beach County ranked 3.
Wow.
So we are in the top of the top of calls, and that's not an area we want to be in. So we're looking at what we can do to address that. So one of the things that we did was we enhanced our adult entertainer work ID requirement that used to be they would come in, apply, and they would have a badge for life. We would lose all contact with them. We wouldn't see what's going on. Now they come in, they make application to the county. The badge expires in 2 years. Our licensing staff are trained to look for indicators of human trafficking. Some examples, Scott, I might share with you is like they come in, they say that they're there for an adult entertainment ID badge. We give them a form. We ask for an ID. They turn and maybe look to a male counterpart who's with them, who's holding their ID. We ask for payment. That male counterpart is holding their credit cards. So these are little flags. It doesn't necessarily mean human trafficking, but they're just little flags that we're, you know, watching. And then we're able to bring that entertainer into a private room where we make her photo ID badge. My background, having come from victim services, I know they're not going to reveal to us in that 2 to 5 minutes of time we're making a badge, hey, I'm a victim of human trafficking. In fact, most victims of human trafficking don't even say they're a victim of human trafficking because they don't know what those definitions are.
Right.
So on the back of their ID badge, we printed out the National Human Trafficking Hotline phone number. And in a roundabout way, our licensing staff will say things like, if you run across a friend or someone you're working with who at the end of their shift is having to give all of their earnings for their day to that person, and they're no longer able to communicate or talk to their friends or relatives, and they want to get out of that situation, there's the phone number, the National Human Trafficking Hotline. So without getting into saying, you know, if you know someone that's a victim of fraud or coercion or using legal terms, we kind of say, if you know of a friend that's in this type of situation, here's what you can do.
Or to put them on the spot.
Right.
To where they feel threatened. They can later on say, well, this is not happening to me. They can come forward on their own to make that claim.
So it's not like all of us who watch SVU. I mean, these are real cases. If we're number three in the country, and if the state is number three and the county is number three in the state, this is a serious problem. But it does rear its head in ways that we might not think about if it wasn't something. Again, I didn't really fully understand this until we started to prepare for the show and you explained it to me.
Yeah, one of the biggest misnomers about it is people think of human trafficking and then there's labor and sex trafficking. Those are kind of two different buckets that they fall in. Sometimes they start as labor and they end up being sex trafficking.
Right.
How most people think of that is, you know, there's a cargo container ship that got smuggled in, or someone came, you know, got washed ashore, or there was some sort of, you know, border problem of why now they're in this situation. But what we're seeing across the nation is a lot of these are our own, you know, nationals. They're born in the United States. They're troubled youth, runaways, and they're looking for someone who's willing to invest in them personally. And they say things like, you make me proud in what you're doing. They provide them comforts, like a place to stay and food to eat. And so over time, they start to use force, fraud, and coercion to get these individuals to engage in modern-day slavery, human trafficking.
Right. It's really, it's terrible. And I know it's top of mind in some respects because of the Jeffrey Epstein story, which making front pages. But this does happen every day to underage and unsuspecting and unprepared and unable to protect themselves people. It's a terrible problem.
And we're really fortunate in Palm Beach County. The Department of Justice provided a grant to us to have some interdisciplinary coordination that happened about, I would say, 3 years ago. So federal prosecutors, state attorney's office, Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, other local law enforcement, victim advocates, they're all involved in this fight against human trafficking. And what I outline is what we do at Consumer Affairs by in no stretch of the imagination is the end-all, be-all. We are one of many different players here. This is what we're doing is some community surveillance. And I've got to also give a shout-out to the club owners of the cooperation we've received from them and the compliance that they're giving with the ordinance, because not only are the performers subject to come into our office for the badging, the clubs are also subject to audit records check of the performers they're using to make sure they have a badge. And we're seeing really high compliance rates with the clubs.
That's great. That's great. Right. Congratulations to all there. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here with Rob Schelt, who is the director of the Palm Beach County Division of Consumer Affairs, and Jeff Eidelberg, who is the investigator, whose primary focus is on the caregiver ordinance, but not his exclusive focus. And we're talking about a couple of things so far that the Department of Consumer Affairs does to protect us and you and others. And we're going to be talking about so much more as soon as we get back. If you have any questions for Jeff or Rob, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, here tonight with Jeff Eidelberg and Rob Schell from the Department of Consumer Affairs. Rob is the director of the Division of Consumer Affairs. Jeff is one of his chief investigators, and they do so much. We talked a little bit about the caregiver ordinance on the first segment. We just talked about adult entertainment and sex trafficking, because it's so important and kind of top of mind. Another area that they get involved in is non-emergency medical transport. Those are those people who you can no longer get into because of a wheelchair. You can no longer get into your car. And so this is a non-medical. It's not an ambulance, and it's not an Uber, but they do kind of overlap some in Uber and Lyft, and people are confused about whether Uber and Lyft drivers are in fact licensed and how do they differ from non-medical emergency and other drivers, right? There are other drivers too. So I guess that all comes at hired cars, right? I don't know if that's taxis or limos.
That's right, vehicle for hire.
Yeah. So help me out. Explain that to the audience, what I'm trying to explain, and I can't even get the question out.
So the county administers a vehicle for hire ordinance, which includes a business permit and also driver ID badges for taxi, sedans, limo, non-emergency medical transport businesses. So if anybody's paying compensation for the transportation, they need to have a county-issued ID badge, which is a level 2 badge. During the course of the badge, we are monitoring their fingerprints. Should any criminal wrongdoing come up, we can revoke the badge. So we know of the past criminal history that these folks may or may not have, and we can see if there's a disqualifying offense before we issue the badge. But also we look at to make sure that companies are maintaining minimum levels of insurance. So while they're operating on the streets of Palm Beach County, the passengers are adequately protected should, God forbid, there be some sort of accident on the highways. The consumer is also protected in the way of we look for a mechanical inspection on the vehicles that are picking them up on an annual basis, as well as all of the taxi and non-emergency medical transport vehicles get a visual inspection by my office staff. We look to make sure that the wheelchair ramps going up into these vehicles or the lifts are operable. We look to make sure that the tire tread is good. We review some safety measures in there. We make sure that there's a passenger bill of rights. Should they have a dispute, they know who to call, how to access our services to resolve those problems. There's been a surge with an interest in people using what we call transportation network companies, TNCs, and that's your Uber and Lyft.
Right.
In 2017, the state legislature passed a law that said a lot of things, but one of the things it said was individual counties within the state of Florida could not regulate Uber and Lyft through ordinances. We couldn't require those drivers and those vehicles to adhere to a county ordinance. Instead, they are regulated by the state of Florida. So should there be a complaint, the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services would get involved in those cases. Additionally, the Department of Financial Services does an annual audit of those companies that self-certify that they complied with insurance requirements through the year. So the county is really not involved now with Uber and Lyft. However, we still have a large number of vehicle-for-hire companies in Palm Beach County. Nearly 400 of those companies exist with roughly 1,200 vehicles that are operating in our streets. So we still have some influence and oversight over those vehicles and operators and companies within Palm Beach County.
So you raise an interesting point, which I don't think most people understand, is that there is a difference between county ordinance and regulation, state ordinance and regulation, and they're not always the same. So going back to the caregiver ordinance, that is a Palm Beach County ordinance.
Only Palm Beach.
Right. Only Palm Beach County, and does not exist in other counties. Is that the same for the badge requirements for adult entertainers as well?
That's correct. That is a county initiative. A lot of times we see that Palm Beach County is on the leading edge for regulation, and many of the areas where we see those problems, our Board of County Commission moves and addresses those problems.
Right. How do people know who's in charge here? Is it the county or the state? Does one supersede the other? I know that the original influence, or one of the original influences in the caregiver ordinance, was the desire for the county to license Uber and Lyft drivers, and I know that it didn't really work out that way. But and does it make much difference as long as somebody's watching, I guess, is the question.
Well, prior to the passage of the Florida statute, which basically said the state is now going to regulate Uber and Lyft, the county was approached to model several of our ordinances so that they could address statewide problems, one of those being the home caregiver ordinance.
Right.
Investigator Eidelberg and I spent a lot of time on the phone. Representative Harrell of the Treasure Coast has been a champion of in the health community for a very long time, and she had an interest in setting a framework that counties could adopt a home caregiver ordinance,
right,
should they so choose,
right,
to replicate what we're doing here in Palm Beach County. And same with the adult entertainer ordinance. There's some interest from some other legislators on doing that on a statewide basis to have that surveillance in other counties that don't have a similar program to what we have. But state statute always
supersedes
local and municipal ordinances. Now, local ordinances can be more strict than the state, and it also comes with local enforcement assets that a lot of times we don't see coming from the state.
Right.
So the county's ordinances can be more strict to address local public safety issues and problems, which is mainly, you know, in our realm, than the state. But we can't be less strict, and people still have to comply with the state requirement.
It's a slippery slope. Anyway, if you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here every Monday night at 6 o'clock live. Tonight I'm here with Rob Schelt and Jeff Eidelberg from the Department of Consumer Affairs. We're talking about all the wonderful things they do to protect you and I, and we have a whole host more. If you have questions for Rob or for Jeff, you can call us at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact health care challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here tonight with two wonderful gentlemen. Rob Schelt is the director of the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs. Jeff Eidelberg is one of his chief investigators, who is focused primarily on the caregiver ordinance that we talked about earlier in the show. They do so much more, as you have begun to find out, and it's more complicated than we understand, because there's county regulations, there's state regulations. Uber is not the same as a taxi, even though many people think of them as being synonymous. They are different. There's non-emergency medical transport. What else do they regulate and control? Well, you'd be surprised, because they do things like water taxis. They do vehicle repair disputes. They do issues with cable companies. One of the things that's really important, because you hear so many horror stories, are disputes with movers. And I think that's a big area, too, that, I mean, people are moving all the time, and there's the good guys, and then there's the not-so-good guys, right? And so what are some of the things that you control, and what are some of the things people should be looking out for?
Well, I think one of the major things that the citizens, the consumer, needs to look out for is make sure that they're licensed and bonded. So make sure you do your due diligence with the companies that you're looking to hire. Ask questions. Call our consumer affairs. See if there's any reports on the companies that you're looking to hire, which is most important. Just because they're cheaper doesn't mean that they're better.
We hear all these horror stories about one price being quoted, and then if you really want your goods, we need another $5,000. I know there's TV commercials. Is that really still happening?
It absolutely is. Actually, this week we had a case of a veteran. We got a call from a social worker who was just beside herself. She couldn't believe this was taking place. So we worked the case and called the moving company and let the moving company owner know that he was actually in violation of the state statute, where you cannot hold people's stuff hostage, and it can't and it has to be delivered to their new address. Companies, lots of times, they'll provide an estimate, and then they'll say, after they have everything packed up, they'll demand a much higher rate. Well, that's a violation there that can't happen. But it also is important to point out, Jeff mentioned making sure that they're licensed and insured, but also kind of know what – they're all going to have insurance, but know what they're going to be moving. For example, it's – the required minimum level insurance will pay you back 60 cents on the pound for a damaged item. So TVs, they don't weigh 200 pounds anymore. They don't weigh 300 pounds. I mean, so you could have, you know, $1,000 TV – and let's just, for argument's sake, say it weighs 10 pounds. It probably weighs more like 30 pounds. But let's just say it weighs 10 pounds. The most you're going to get back on that TV if it gets dropped is $6, 60 cents on the pound. 60 cents times 10 is $6. So make sure you know what you're having them move, and maybe get additional insurance for that move.
That's amazing to me. We keep talking about check with Department of Consumer Affairs. How do people check with the Department of Consumer Affairs? Who do they call?
Well, the best way is to go online to pbcgov.com/consumer. And from there, they can look up to see, is a company that's a moving company, are they licensed? They can look up the home caregiver and their ID badge. They can look up tow drivers. They can look up vehicle for hire drivers. And they can see that they're credentialed through our office and have met minimum levels required to obtain the ID badge or obtain a company permit.
And if not, you can call us at 561-712-6600. And that's Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 o'clock.
And give that number again.
561-712-6600.
And the website again?
www.pbcgov.com/consumer, or follow us on Twitter at @PBCConsumer.
So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you just tuned in, you're missing a great show, or missed most of a great show, but I have good news for you. You can still listen, because we podcast, and it will be up and running tomorrow at OMG. I'm getting. All you have to do is go to your podcast platform, type in OMG, I'm getting. You can hear this show and any of the others that we've done. Of course, if you're not a podcaster, and I understand that because I myself don't do much, we also put it up on our website, which is palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Comfort Care, ComfortCare. I know you want to put a T in there. Don't do it. You won't find us. PalmBeach.ComfortCare, ComfortCare.com. There is no excuse if you don't have a radio any longer, because I know you have a smartphone, and there is an app that you can listen to us on. It's called TuneIn Radio. Good on any of the platforms, on any of the phones that you might have. TuneIn Radio, one word, TuneIn, TuneIn radio.com. Just set it for WSVU, 6 o'clock on Monday nights, and we will be there, I promise. And, of course, we simulcast www.trueoldiesfla.com. Locally, around the country, around the world, www.trueoldiesfla.com. Next week, a most important show, a different show, something that was brand new for me until today. Nicole Reynolds from Saller PT is going to be here, and she's going to be talking about LVST movement. It's about big movements for Parkinson's, and she's also going to talk about occupational therapy. Believe it or not, I've never had an occupational therapist on the show. So she's going to talk about this program specifically designed for people struggling with Parkinson's, but also about occupational therapy in general. And I spoke with Nicole today. She's really, really smart. She's excited to be here. She has a lot of good, useful information, and I hope that you will join us. In 2 weeks, Steve Dunn. Steve's been a guest, I don't know, two or three times over the last 8 years. I say 8 years because next week will be the beginning of my 8th year of Oh My God. I'm pretty proud of that. Steve Dunn's going to be here. He's going to be talking about long-term care insurance. Long-term care insurance is often misunderstood, but it may be the difference between you getting the help you need and not. It may also, if you have been denied, Steven's the guy that can help get you approved if you're having trouble collecting on your long-term care insurance. So Steven will be here in 2 weeks. But next week will be my 8th anniversary. We're not going to be doing anything special. I just will actually show up and do another show. Tonight we have been blessed to have Jeff Eidelberg and Rob Schelt here from the Department of Consumer Affairs. You know, we covered a lot of the things that you talked about, some of the things we did not talk about yet, guys, which are really important. We don't have enough time to go through them all. Landlord-tenant disputes. I see that all the time where landlord and tenants are in the midst of big battles. That's something you guys handle as well, correct?
Right. We have a dispute mediation program. So not only is landlord-tenant disputes at the top of the list, other home services are for repair. Vehicle repair is also at the top of that list every year. So we help consumers resolve those complaints before they need to be elevated to court. Forms can be found on our website. We gave that web address earlier, but also you can call our office and speak to the duty investigator, and they can provide guidance because there's certain steps, especially in a landlord-tenant dispute, that still have to be taken. In other words, you can't stop paying rent just because there's a dispute, and that we can offer the guidance on how that can proceed to try to bring resolution there. In the past, in hurricane seasons, we've brought back millions of dollars in a year for consumers that have had disputes. So, or it can be a variety of things. You didn't get what you paid for. It's a contract violation. We're glad to get involved and help to try to keep these cases out of court, keep the dockets low, and bring some resolution.
So I have a rental property in Pennsylvania. Can I get you to come up there? I got a tenant dispute. I'm sorry, Jeff. I
cut you off. And if not, we have a vast network of numbers and where we can get the people to the proper help that they need, even if we can't help them here in Palm Beach County.
Yeah, I think people think that you guys regulate like supermarkets and prices, and I don't know if you do or you don't, but you really are a resource for the community that people just don't fully grasp how important and how valuable you are. You guys do amazing. I mean, cable companies. You told me you help with cable company disputes and
any business in Palm Beach County.
Yeah, so the caveat has to be the transaction occurred in Palm Beach County, right. The business is located in Palm Beach County, or the consumer is located in Palm Beach County. That's a pretty wide
Right. And water taxis. People don't even realize water. And that's a business that's going to be growing, right? Water taxis are not that big an issue today, but they are going to be growing over time, particularly as we move towards using less fossil fuels and so on.
Right, and it's a strategy to get people off the roadways. If individuals can get on a taxi to a designated stop and then get off across the river downstream, or so to speak, then it keeps cars off the roadways. So we have positioned ourselves here in Palm Beach County to have a water taxi ordinance, which we when we license those companies, there's not a lot of them. We mainly look to make sure that they have minimum levels of insurance, that they have their vessels are inspected by the Coast Guard and the individuals that where they're docking, and there's publication requirements, things of that nature.
So I do think the other thing that's important is that you are fair to both sides. You're not out to get it. You just want everybody treated fairly and to live up to their obligation and to follow the rules and to treat people the way you'd want to be treated. It's really kind of fundamental, isn't it?
Right, and it becomes an investigation.
Right.
So we look into the matter, we ask for justification. A consumer can't just allege something. We say, okay, well, show us proof of payment, show us the contract. And through our investigative and our dispute mediation program, we're able to look and see, was there a violation here? And if there was, then we try to pursue that matter with the business owner to bring some sort of redress to the consumer who may be out hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you guys are doing great work. I can't thank you enough. You guys are terrific guests. I wish I had more time because I have a whole lot more to ask you. But you guys are doing really wonderful work. You're really protecting the consumer in so many different ways. I don't think people understand that. I thank you a lot. I hope I can twist your arm to come back one day, and we'll do it again. We'll talk about some more of the wonderful work that you and your agency do. So,
well, thanks for having
us,
Scott.
Thank you.
So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, here in our new studio for the first time. We're excited that you joined us. We're here every Monday night. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. It doesn't just have to be boomers and their parents, as tonight you heard about things that protect you all from the Palm Beach County Department of Consumer Affairs with my guests Rob Schelt and Jeff Eidelberg. We're glad that you're with us. We look forward to seeing you next week when my guest will be Nicole Reynolds. Have a good week. Have a good night. We'll see you next Monday. Good night. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom.